for some reason, either every year or every other year, we grapple with monitoring kosher meat. And there's a good reason for it. And it's sadly to say that we're still grappling with that. And it's something we haven't solved yet. And if I could say a collective criticism on our industry, perhaps we're not trying enough. There are many ideas that come around. We're going to hear some new ideas today as well. But it's something that has to happen, because unfortunately, every few years, and this year was no exception, unfortunately, there was another Misa where meat, which is the most profitable in kosher, somehow is sold, even with good hashgacha. So when setting up the program for this year, I told the executive, who I want to give you a big yasher koyach to, their, behind the scenes, the ACCO executive is very involved. We said, let's try to make this more of a practical and once and for all, try to come up with some good ideas. And we have two sessions that will be addressing that today. The first session, we're going to hear from Daniel Center on what I believe is a very exciting new initiative that we want to do, and I'll leave that to him. The second one, we'll be hearing from Zalman. Is he here? Somewhere? He's there. Where this was basically, if you remember, we had many, many conference calls where we shared ideas and put them together, and we actually voted in, and they're all on the table, what we voted in, that we all agreed, and these will now become ACCO guidelines, which you should include into your contracts and into your manuals. But within that, we're putting together a video, because basically what happens is, we, as we'll call administrators running the hashgachas, have one set of skills, are trained in various, but frankly, many of the people on the floor, in the butcher, in the distributor, these things are brand new to them. So we're trying to put out an ACCO video or an ACCO thing that will give anyone dealing with me with some type of training of some of the basics. And we're hoping, if it goes well, that will be the beginning of several type of videos like that, and Reb Zalman will be addressing that. And finally, later today, 12:45, we're going to be hearing about securing kosher labels, also very exciting, and that will be presented by Dr. Pollack and Ari Lauber. So, without further ado, Reb Daniel, you're on.
Certainly a pleasure to speak in front of this audience. I've been on and off attending ACCO conferences for many, many years. This has been my first opportunity to speak. It was just my father, Rabbi Fishbane. Over those many, many years, the face of kashrus has changed dramatically. When I first started in kashrus, you could very easily use an excuse that the certificate or whatever you're doing was in the mail. Things took very long. Technology has changed kashrus dramatically. The one area that has little or almost not changed in the many years, and I'd even suggest maybe long before I started in kashrus, is food service, restaurants and caterers, specifically dealing with meat. The way most of us conduct ourselves with restaurants and caterers is exactly the way we did things 20 years ago, 30 years ago. There's been a lot of talk. I venture to say, anyone seated at this table that thinks that what happened, wherever it happened over the past couple of years, could not happen to you, you're honestly fooling yourselves. We're all using basically the same system. We're relying on basically the same things. And the reality is, we are vulnerable. I'd also suggest, our strongest mashkichim, I don't want to say it in a negative way, our strongest mashkichim are not working in this field, certainly not on the floor. And we have to recognize that. When we start looking at and suggesting that the mashkichim that are working for us in restaurants and caterers should do what we wouldn't expect an accountant to be able to do without specific experience, we are fooling ourselves. Reality is, we have to recognize that when we talk about something like a little greater than group one ingredients coming out of China, our fail-safe is, in all likelihood, b'di'evit, at least it'll be kosher. When you're dealing with meat, you're dealing with d'oraisas and very, very serious things that, in honesty, we have to look, as Sholem mentioned, we have to look and say, we haven't changed with the times. We have in many other ways. Many of the kosher agencies here today have spent tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars automating and relying on computer systems, which certainly aid and help us in other areas. And food service has sort of been a stepchild, specifically with meat. So I believe I was actually on the committee, although I did almost no, or should say no work, related to adjusting these or coming up. Oh, okay, thank you. Thank you. I was on the committee that was supposed to come up with suggestions of how we could approve things, and as many of us are, I was too busy and actually partake in it. And when the original draft came out, I looked over and recognized these were all fantastic ideas. I thank all the people that worked very hard on it. But I also recognize they would be very, very difficult for us to implement. For one reason, the reality is the people on the ground do not necessarily, and it's not saying something negative about them, they do not necessarily have the background to be able to do what we're asking of them. Do forensic investigation, look through bills of the company, compare invoices, match things up, may very well be beyond the pale of what they're capable of doing. And another challenge that we recognized is when you go to a company and you tell them, you know what, I want to check X, Y, and Z, their first response is, Rabbi, I didn't do anything wrong. Why are you picking on me? Because you had a problem, now all of a sudden I don't have them on us? And very often we're dealing with people that are themselves Shomrei Torah and Mitzvahs. So in thinking of that and speaking with my very good friend, Rabbi Yossi Eisen, we recognize that it might be for two reasons in our best interest to look at an outside agency to assist us. And this is not to put the Hashgacha agency on trial, but to assist us in being able to set up a way that we can have somebody come in and do an independent audit, reporting back to us, of what is going on in these critical areas which perhaps are beyond our pale of being able to do on a daily basis. So let me elaborate on what we're talking about. We're talking about starting initially as a volunteer. Now, I'll back up to the following. There's two things that are important to mention. In no way am I suggesting that this should replace anything we're doing. What we do kashrus-wise and what our mashkichim and the kashrus agencies are doing to take care of kashrus in meat facilities, restaurants, and caterers, there is nothing that I'm suggesting that should be replacing. This is an adjunct. This is an additional tool that we should use. And the concept was, let's create, and it is still somewhat in the planning stages, let's create a setup that we'd be able to have an independent audit. Initially, it would be voluntary. We would provide it, suggest it to our facilities that you submit to a voluntary audit whereby a person, and we haven't worked out whether it should be a forensic accountant or someone else, will go through and compare whether it's invoices, meat coming in, products going out, looking at trays. We haven't developed exactly where we're going to end up with that, but the idea is that somebody who would report back, and this is not something that's unheard of. There's a good manufacturing practices audit that companies submit to, whereby they get a third-party auditor to come into the facility. That report is given to the company, and they get a grade. We're not necessarily suggesting that that happens here, but they get a report. Here are the areas of concern. Here's what we're talking about. So halavai, if we could get to a point where a company, like a butcher shop, would submit to such an audit, the auditors would come in, would look at their receiving, would look at the distributors that is supplying them with product, would put together a calculation and would come back to us and come back to the kosher agency also. I'm not suggesting that it comes back to ACO as a group. If it Kufke facility, the Kufke would receive a report with an audit. Here is the results of the audit. The chicken numbers make sense. The meat numbers, we have a little concern here. Maybe you've got to look back at this. They're not keeping proper records. You've got to talk to them. They're not keeping proper records of this and that. Basically, a way of going back and checking to confirm that the numbers, the meat numbers, make sense. And that's basically where we're at right now. We've met three times in discussing this. My brother pointed out very well, when you have a problem, you've got to make sure that you analyze what the problem is before you figure out how to fix it. So we certainly have not finished. I was actually a little reluctant to speak when Shalom asked me to speak. I said it's sort of in the early stages. He said, well, that's an opportunity to getting people involved, which we're certainly looking for. We have an initial commitment from two VODs, as well as the Cuff K, to start with some sort of voluntary. The hope is the following. Why would a company submit? Why would Parkey's Butchers, that's certified by the Cuff K, why would they be willing to have an extra audit? It's going to take time. It's going to take time and take money. The answer is, the concept is that ACCO will publicize afterwards and will give them a certificate they submitted to such an audit, that the company would be able to publicize, I've participated in this initiative whereby I'm giving transparency. And the consumers, not only kosher consumers understand the importance of transparency. That the company is saying, I submitted to this audit, all they would get is a certificate. That information is only going to be available to the kosher agency. But the impetus for the company would be, I have this certificate stating that I'm willing to offer transparency and have submitted myself to an audit.
So the question was, what type of companies are we talking about?
So
before we answer, I just want to say that we met yesterday, the ACCO executive met yesterday about this and voted it in. First we had a vote in it that would be an ACCO initiative, and we put together, we have to get the right people in the room, the forensic people, the mashkichim and whatnot. It's a very exciting thing, and I want to give Daniel a big yasher koyach. That was an exact question of who we're going to submit it to. And as well as I know Rabbi Teichman has a good aura, even though Rabbi Teichman's on the executive, he wasn't able to make the meeting yesterday, but it was actually talked about. So go ahead and answer the...
So I think your question is, which companies are we starting with, or how far are the audit going? Okay, our idea is, and that's really going to be the choice of the conscious agency, the three VODs, the two VODs in the Kafka that have agreed to sort of pilot this, which we're looking for additional partners if anybody would like to get involved. But the idea was, we're going to look at large consumers of retail meat, meaning butcher shops, supermarkets, places that would, and we're going to, recognizing that this is something that we're just starting, we're going to start small. We're going to look for two or three of these types of facilities that's going to agree to voluntarily submit to this audit. Now, the audit is going to involve, and we've got the support of the conscious agencies on the other side, that we're going to then go back to their distributors. And there's two types of distributors. There's a distributor that's certified, the manufacturer itself of the meat, and then there are these middlemen distributors. We're going to go back to both, and we're going to say, your customer, use the example of Park East, your customer, Park East, buys meat from John's meat purveyors. They've agreed to an audit. We're now going to talk to them. So it's going to work its way upstream, hopefully, to the actual source of the Schlachthaus. The agencies have agreed to cooperate with us.
Okay, one second, Rabbi Teichman.
Rabbi Center, Groysen Yashikoyach, just I'm going to excuse myself. I never make these executive meetings that happen the Wednesday before the ACCO conference because I'm on a plane at the time, or close to a plane. I have two questions, and we're talking Mikan Vad Gichon. From now until then, what do we do in the meanwhile? One of the things that are going to be a hole in the entire process is the cash economy. There won't be any record of transactions. We'll have to address that. As we know, a lot of these businesses deal in cash, cash in and cash out. So that's one hole that we'll have to look at. Second, right now, in any store that has the point of sale system, so that has computer reports, you can right now get a report for all the cash register sales according to item. That's available right now. And so you can manage what goes out. You can look at the paperwork at what has come in. At least on a global sense, that's available pretty much right now.
Okay. What?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, so firstly, as far as I don't know that we had a conversation, but I can address the cash issue, I believe. Right. Right. I'm not suggesting that we are two things I don't think are going to be able to happen. I don't think we're going to be able to track every last ounce of meat, nor do I believe that this is a system that's going to recreate the wheel and we're going to say now we can stop doing certain things. But the idea is the people that are cheating on wholesale levels. Again, and I'm sure every kosher agency can tell you their horror stories and how they caught a guy doing this and whatever the case may be. I do not believe this is going to assist at all for the guy who ran out of a product and ran out to go get it somewhere else. This is designed that if we're auditing this and a guy's bringing in hundreds and hundreds of pounds of non-kosher meat, in all likelihood, this might do nothing more than create mirsis. If they know someone's going to be looking at their books, someone's going to be asking for their receipts. Where'd you get your meat from? Where'd you get your chicken? Man, and you got to recognize, as the years go by, if we have a company that's regularly submitting to audits, you were buying 20,000 pounds of chicken. Now you're only buying 4, or even small drops, they should be able to pick up. The other thing, which is fortunate, in general, it's certainly not entirely true, but that cash is diminishing considerably. There is certainly still an amount that's assisted us a lot in pushing for mashgichim being paid on the books. There's far less cash coming into the system than there was before. And many of these companies, as Rabbi Teichman points out, do have other record keeping because they have a register and whatever else, which if they submit to the audit would become available to the auditors.
Okay, so in fairness to our next speaker, he only has 6 minutes. Thank you very much. It's a lot of work went into this, and Mirz Hashem will be very successful, and I'm personally very excited about it. Reb Zalman, thank you very much.